All right, if you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. By the way, for those of us who are going to be in town for Thanksgiving, I think there's a, hopefully we have a sign-up sheet somewhere. If not, then we'll forward that to you via your life group leaders. And so if you are going to be in town for Thanksgiving, we want to invite you to celebrate with us. And so, but we ask that you actually sign up so that we know exactly how many people are going to be coming to dinner on that Thursday so that we can prepare enough food and all that stuff. So please keep that in mind for those of us who are going to be in town for Thanksgiving. Okay? All right. First Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll look at verses 16 through 18. This is the word of God for us this morning. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Let's read that again. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So this morning we're going to approach our Sunday celebration a little bit different. If you remember, the theme for us this year is Together on Mission. And so this morning, we want to emphasize that togetherness as we not only get into the Word of God, but as we pray together and then as we fellowship with one another. And the way that we're going to do that is by sharing a Thanksgiving-ish meal together as part of our celebration, as part of our worship to God. We're in the season of Thanksgiving, right? And hopefully many of us are looking forward to spending time with our families, getting together with our friends and our loved ones. But this theme of Thanksgiving, it's huge throughout Scripture. That when you look into the Word of God, you see the theme of Thanksgiving over and over again, how God calls us to give thanks to Him. So for example, in Psalm 95:2, it says, "Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise in Him with songs of praise." That as we come into His presence, we come into His presence with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2, Apostle Paul writes, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." That He calls us to engage in living out our Christian lives in thanksgiving. And then He emphasizes that again in Ephesians 5:20 when He says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That He says to give thanks always in everything. And so when you think about this call or this challenge for us to give thanks to God, it is something that is not natural, not normal, and it's something that is very challenging for us, right? Because I think about this call to give thanks, and I don't think it's necessarily within our nature to give thanks. And that's not to say that we're not grateful people, but the reason why I say that is because when a child grows up, you have to teach that child to what? To give thanks. So when they receive a present or when someone does something nice for that child, you have to teach that child to say thank you. Right? It doesn't come naturally. But I think it's more than just thanksgiving not necessarily being in our nature, but really the challenging aspect of the biblical, the Bible's version, if you were to think about it in this way, the Bible's encouragement for us to give thanks is to give thanks regardless of the circumstances and the situations that we experience in our lives. Because it doesn't just say give thanks when things are going well, because anyone can do that. But Paul reminds us this morning that we are called to give thanks in all circumstances. And when you think about what Paul is saying here, it really seems like an impossible standard that God's calling us to. Because the reality is that there's really no one, at least no one that I know, who is able to give thanks in all circumstances. Like, how do we give thanks to God when Maybe a loved one is diagnosed with cancer. Or how do we give thanks to God when we just got laid off from a job? I remember the first few years of our church really struggling to gain traction and really battling through and just trying to sustain the church. And it was really hard for me to think about giving thanks to God in this situation or in these circumstances when I was just plagued with a sense of doubt. We should have never come down to Austin in the first place, or just feeling like I failed in what God is calling me to do. In the midst of struggles and difficulties and the challenges that we face in life, the Bible challenges us to give thanks to God. And so how do we do that? Because the Word of God is very clear that giving thanks to God is not an option. It's not something that's reserved only for a specific holiday. But this is how we are called to live our lives. And in fact, this is how we are called to relate to God, that we relate to God through giving thanks. So as we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us this morning simply is this, that we can give thanks to God in all circumstances because we are always in Christ Jesus. That we can give God, we can give thanks to God in all circumstances because we are always in Christ Jesus. So there's two questions that I want us to tackle with this morning. The first question is this. When Paul says to give thanks in all circumstances, I think we have to ask ourselves, well, why is thanksgiving important? Why is giving thanks to God important? Important enough for Paul to say, regardless of the circumstances that we experience in our lives, that we are to relate to God through thanksgiving. Because he says in verse 16 through 18a, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, Paul is writing this letter to the Christians, the believers in the city of Thessalonica. And the theme is that they're experiencing what? Persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Because they claim Christ to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Romans didn't like that. Because their understanding is there's an emperor, and that emperor is the king, but these Christians are proclaiming another king that is greater than the Roman emperor. And so they're experiencing persecution, but in the midst of experiencing persecution, that they are flourishing in their faith. And so Paul is writing this letter to encourage them to continue on in their faith. And chapter 5 is the last chapter of this letter. And he is giving them these exhortations. And essentially what he is saying is, this is what it means to be a Christian. That we rejoice always, that we pray without ceasing, that we give thanks in all circumstances. So why does Paul exhort the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances? And so I want us to think about the biblical viewpoint, the Bible's exhortation for us to give thanks in all circumstances, right? Because oftentimes we think about giving thanks in the context of, we give thanks to someone, why? Because someone did something for us or someone gave us something. And so we acknowledge that and we thank them and then we move on. And in many ways, I think that's how we understand what Thanksgiving is. So it's not that we don't understand what God has done, but our attitude is almost like, God did this thing for me, and so I owe him a debt of gratitude. And so we express that gratitude by saying thank you. And then by saying thank you, we paid off that debt and we kind of move on. But our thanksgiving to God is so much greater and so much deeper than just us paying off our debt to him and moving on. And I think there's many reasons that scripture states as the importance of giving thanks, but I want to tackle three specific reasons why it's important for us to give thanks to God, why thanksgiving to God is important. First of all, it's important because when we give thanks to God, it helps us to understand that we are always the recipients and God is always the giver. In Acts 17:25b, it says, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything.
Right? Bible makes it very clear that everything that we have is from God, that He is always the giver and that we are always the recipient. And so when we give thanks to God, it reminds us of this reality. That nothing that we have because we deserve it. Nothing that we have because we've somehow earned it. But everything that we have because God always gives. And it cultivates in our hearts the sense of what? The sense of gratitude, the sense of humility, knowing that God is always the giver and we are always the recipient. Not only that, but second, when we give thanks to God, it helps us to see God's grace more clearly. It helps us to see God's grace more clearly. This is what Paul writes in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That when we give thanks to God, it reminds us that God deals with us through grace. It's a wonderful reminder that even though God owed us nothing, that all that we have is because of His grace, something that is undeserved, unearned, and unsolicited. Pastor Sam Crabtree writes this. He says, and I quote, "Gratitude is the divinely given spiritual ability to see grace and the corresponding desire to affirm it and its giver as good," unquote. That unless you are able to see God through this lens of thanksgiving, you'll never be able to understand God's grace for our lives. So thanksgiving helps us to see God's grace more clearly. But not only that, but thanksgiving, it helps us to see the trustworthiness of God. Once again, Paul writes in Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose." Thanksgiving is so important, especially during the more challenging seasons of our lives, because our thanksgiving, it enables us to cling on to God and it enables us to trust in God, right? Now, it doesn't mean that we can't acknowledge the hurt and the pain and the suffering that we experience in the midst of our circumstances. But when we cry out to God in thanksgiving, what we're saying is that, God, despite our circumstances, that we affirm that You are trustworthy. That in the midst of our sufferings, that in the midst of the uncertainties and the questions that we have, we affirm, God, that You are trustworthy. And that we know, God, that regardless of our circumstances, and regardless of whether we understand it or not, that You're able to use all things for our good. And we're reminded that that's exactly what God did for us on the cross. That God used that cross, the death of Christ, for our good. And that's why Paul is able to write this in 2 Corinthians 4:7 through 10. He says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body." Right? Paul's saying this is our life. So on one hand, we know what it means to experience sorrow and grief and hardships and difficulties. We know what it means to be jars of clay. Jars of clay is, you know, when you think about a jar of clay in the Roman household, it's just a common container that you would use for household chores. And a jar of clay would get nicks and get filled up with things that it might not necessarily want to get filled up with. And it would be handled roughly. And he says, as a Christian, we know what it means to be afflicted. We know what it means to be crushed and perplexed. And we know what it means to be persecuted. We know what it means to be struck down. We know what it means to carry on our bodies the death of Christ. And so we're not unrealistic about what we experience in life. But on the other hand, Paul says that's not what defines us. But what defines our lives is that in the midst of what we experience, this is what God does. That he places in us treasures. That even though we are afflicted, that we're not crushed. That even though we're perplexed, that we're not driven to despair. That even though we're persecuted, he says we're not forsaken. Even though we're struck down, he says we're not destroyed. That even though, yes, on our bodies we carry the death of Christ, but ultimately it's so that the life of Christ may also be manifested in our bodies as well. Now listen to what Steve Fuller, he's a pastor in Abu Dhabi. This is what he writes about our giving thanks to God. He says, and I quote, "When God calls us to give thanks, he's not just calling us to thank him for what he's done. He's calling us to rejoice in who he is, as displayed in what he's done. And that's why Christian hedonists love to thank God. Thanking God leads to seeing more of God, and seeing more of God is our greatest joy," unquote. That when we actively engage in thanking God, despite our circumstances, it helps us to see more and more of who God is. And as we see more and more of who God is, it ultimately leads to what? Our joy. And that's why the psalmist declares in Psalm 136:1, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Right? The foundation of our giving thanks to God is rooted in this reality, what? That God is good. That when we can give thanks to God in all circumstances, we're not saying that these circumstances are challenging and difficult and hard. But when we can give thanks to God, what we are saying is that even in the midst of these circumstances, we are able to be reminded of a greater truth. And that greater truth is what? That God is good. And that his steadfast love endures forever. It's his grace, his love and commitment to us that helps us to continue to walk forward. And that's why Thanksgiving is important. Through our Thanksgiving, we're able to reflect this reality that God is good. And so if Thanksgiving is important, then the second question is, how are we able to give thanks in all circumstances? So we clearly see throughout Scripture that this theme of Thanksgiving is important. Because our Thanksgiving ultimately reflects our belief about the goodness of God and about the endurance of his love for us. And so if that's the case, then practically speaking, how are we able to give thanks in all circumstances? And I think Paul tells us the key to understanding these three exhortations. Rejoice always. I mean, that's tough. And then he says, pray without ceasing. That's hard too. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances. And it seems like rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. It's an impossible standard for us to live up to. And so how are we able to do this? He says this in 18b, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I think it's that, those two words, well, three words, "in Christ Jesus." I think that's really the key for us in understanding how we can give thanks in all circumstances. For Paul says, this is the will of God. In other words, think about what the will of God is. Will of God is not dependent on our abilities. And so Paul is saying that you yourself, within your strength and your ability, you're not able to generate a heart that is always able to give thanks regardless of circumstances, but this is the work that God is doing in you. And so it's not you thinking about, okay, as a Christian, This is how I am called to live my life, and so I'm going to try really hard to give thanks in all circumstances. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but that's really hard. And when you try to do that on your strength, it doesn't lead you to a life of victory. Right? Giving thanks to God in all circumstances. You wake up in the morning and you think, okay, I got to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And then soon as you get into that mindset, I don't know about you, but soon as you get into that mindset, the thing that I notice the most is not the things that are going well in my life, but the things that stand out to me the most are the things that are going not well in my life, right? It's all the struggles and the difficulties and the challenges. It's all the ways that other people are annoying you and getting on your nerves. And it's all the things that are not going according to your plans and your purposes that stand out. And think to myself, okay, I got to give thanks in all circumstances. But I realize that I'm failing to do that. But Paul reminds us, no, it's the will of God. In other words, it's God who is at work in you. How is it at work in you? He reminds us that we are in Christ Jesus. And so this is from Dr. John Piper. He points us to these realities of really thinking about what it means to be in Christ Jesus. First, in Christ Jesus, we were given grace before the world was created. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, He gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Right? The grace God demonstrates for us, it's not because somehow we've earned it, but it's because God is gracious in dealing with us. In Christ Jesus, we were chosen by God before creation. Ephesians 1:4 says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. In other words, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, not because, once again, we deserve it, but that's how God deals with us. Number three, in Christ Jesus, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Romans 8:38 through 39, it reminds us, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That when we are in Christ, we are reminded of the love of God that is inseparable. Number four, in Christ Jesus, we were redeemed and forgiven for all of our sins. Ephesians 1:7 reminds us that in Christ we have been redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, so that when we approach the throne of God, He treats us not as sinners, but He treats us as people who have been redeemed and renewed. People who are forgiven. Number five, in Christ Jesus, we are justified before God, and the righteousness of Christ, God in Christ, is imputed to us. In other words, the righteousness of Christ covers over our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake God made Christ to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That in Christ, when we stand before God, we stand justified, clothed in Christ's righteousness. And number six, in Christ Jesus, we have become a new creation and a child of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And then Galatians 3:26, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. That in Christ, that when we are in Christ, it reminds us that we are a new creation. And that new creation is we are children of God. Paul is reminding us, this is the will of God in Christ for us. Meaning that it's the Holy Spirit of God that empowers us. It's the Spirit of God that changes us from within. So that it reminds us of these new realities that we are living in. Even though, yes, circumstances might say otherwise, or maybe even your own feelings might say otherwise. That in that moment, you don't really feel like you're connected to the love of God. In that moment, you can't really see yourself as a creation that is being redeemed. But Paul reminds us, no, it's not your effort. It's not even your ability to somehow figure out, okay, how do I give thanks to God in this circumstance? No, it's this Holy Spirit of God that is at work in your life, reminding you that regardless of the circumstances that you go through in life, that you are in Christ Jesus. Because it is God who works in Christ to keep you in Christ. That He saved you in Christ. That He redeemed you in Christ. That He brought you close in Christ. That through His death and His resurrection, He reminded you of not only who He is, but His plan of salvation for you. And He continues to keep us in Christ. That in Christ we are reminded of His promises. That in Christ we are reminded of His power that is at work in our lives. That in Christ we're reminded of the Spirit of God that bears His fruit in our lives. And that's why Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers, he said this, and I love this quote. He says, "I have a great need for Christ. I have a great Christ for my need." I think when we give thanks to God, it's not that we're ignoring our circumstances. I think when we give thanks to God, we are acknowledging that I have a great need for Christ. But then also when we give thanks to God, we can do so in this confidence in knowing that I have a great Christ for my need. And that's the biblical foundation of why we can give thanks to God. Because even though we have a great need for Christ, we have a great Christ for our need. So what does this look like, gospel living? First of all, look to the Holy Spirit to empower you in giving thanks. Look to the Holy Spirit of God to do the impossible. And cultivating in your heart a heart of gratitude. Look to the Holy Spirit to remind you of the grace and the mercy of God that is at work. Look to the Holy Spirit to remind you of the love of God that continues to keep you close to His heart. Look to the Holy Spirit. And secondly, as you look to the Holy Spirit, take time to meditate on God's mercy and grace. Take time to meditate on God's mercy and grace. You know, the thing is, the thing that we take time to fixate our eyes on, right? That's the thing that we're going to see the clearest. I don't know about you, but you know, like sometimes I wake up in the morning and I go to wash my face, and then I look at myself in the mirror, and then I see this little zit forming at the top of my nose. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like I'm too old for this now. But it's there, right? And the more I get fixated on that white spot, even though it's a tiny white spot, that's all I see. And so every time I go to wash my hands or every time I go to the bathroom or every time I stand in front of a mirror, the thing that I'm looking for is, where's that zit? Did it go away? Is it still there? The thing that we tend to fixate on, that's what we see. And so take time to meditate on God's mercy and grace. The more that you take time to meditate on His grace, on His goodness, on His mercy, that's what you're going to see. So on one hand, it is the power of the Holy Spirit, but on the other hand, it is the discipline you develop to say, you know what? I have a choice here. I can choose to see the difficulties, and I'm not saying that we ignore the difficulties, but I can also choose in the midst of those difficulties to see the grace and the mercy of God. And when you choose to fix your eyes on the grace and the mercy of God, that's what you're going to see. And that's going to lead your heart to develop gratitude.
Joe Thorne, he's a Christian author. This is what he writes. He says, and I quote, "Does gratitude characterize your thoughts of God? Thankfulness is a good test of your faith. Its absence demonstrates that your faith is more lip service than experiential knowledge. Your days, whether easy or difficult, should be filled with thanksgiving because while life changes drastically, your God remains the same forever. He is constant, constantly good, loving, and faithful," unquote. That's so good, right? That even though our life changes drastically, our God remains the same forever. That when things are going well, our God remains the same, that He is constantly good, loving, and faithful. That when things are challenging, our God still remains the same, that He is constantly good, loving, and faithful. And Paul knew this firsthand. Through all the difficulties that he experienced in his life, he knew very well that his circumstances changed all the time. But he also knew very well that in the midst of the changing circumstances, that God remained constant in his life. That God was constantly good, loving, and faithful. And because of that, in his life, he was able to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And he challenges the believers to give thanks to God in all circumstances because God is always good. Because God is always gracious. Because God is always loving. And because God is always faithful. We can give thanks to God in all circumstances as we remember that we are in Christ Jesus, right? So let's pray together before we close out our time together. And this is how I want us to pray. I want to give us some time to pray through who you are in Christ. These six realities that we talked about, that in Christ that we were given grace before the world was created, that in Christ Jesus that we were chosen by God before creation, that in Christ Jesus that we are loved by God with an inseparable love, that in Christ Jesus we were redeemed and forgiven for all of our sins, that in Christ Jesus that we are justified before God and the righteousness of God in Christ is imputed to us, that in Christ Jesus that we have become a new creation and a child of God. So can I ask you, as we close out our time together, to reflect on these realities and to embrace these realities for our own lives and to be reminded of these glorious truths that if we are in Christ Jesus, this is who we are and this is what God continues to do in our lives. And because of God's faithfulness in our lives, that regardless of the difficulties that we experience, that we can always find a reason to give thanks to God. And when we do that, what you will see is the releasing of just greater joy in your life. So can I invite us to spend time reflecting, being reminded, just being encouraged, being challenged, spend time praying through these truths? Maybe some of us in this room who might not necessarily have that personal relationship with Christ, I want to challenge us to think about, where is your source of thanksgiving? Where does that come from? Maybe it's dependent on circumstances. Maybe it's dependent on your accomplishments. Maybe it's dependent on the generosity of others. But we also realize it's so fickle. It's so circumstantial. It's so fleeting.
Well, God invites us to know a greater joy in our hearts. Joy that will always produce thanksgiving, regardless of circumstances, and that joy comes from knowing that we can be forgiven, that we can be made righteous before God, that we can be redeemed to God. And God invites us to know Him through Christ and His death and His resurrection for our lives. That while we were all still sinners, Jesus Christ, He came and He died for our sins. And when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the Word of God tells us now we are in Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God begins that work in us to help us to realize that this is who we are. And this is what God does in our lives. And maybe today, for some of us, may be that day of coming to know and experience what it means to be in Christ for the first time. And so can I invite us, church, before we close out our time together and go into closing worship and just meal together at the end. Let's pray through these truths. And as we do so, let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to breathe in us power to give thanks to God, regardless of the circumstances, right? Regardless of the weather, regardless of what we're looking forward to or not looking forward to this upcoming week. Regardless of what we were struggling with this past week, that we can give thanks to God in all circumstances because we are right here in this place in Christ Jesus. So let's pray for that, okay? Let's pray for that together, church.